Thank you so much. We're good. It's going to start any second now.
That's what I hear.
What?
That's what I hear.
Okay. Oh, it has? Okay. Okay, so who gets the binders of women? Okay, what do you know?
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's This Bright River author and writer for FX's The Bridge, Patrick Somerville. Plus, we'll tack on a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who voted so early he can't quite remember who he voted for, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you so much. You scared me. Oh, no, my ear pads. I don't care. Let's throw your ear pads to the wind. Let's all remove our ear pads at this moment. Okay. I'm hearing a delay in myself, so I can't use these anyway. Done. All right.
Right.
What? Well, that's over with, huh, that election?
Yeah.
As far as I know. And I'm personally so relieved to be able to plan parenthood again. It's just, even though it's in retrospect, still, you know. Mitt, of course, has landed on his feet. He'll be playing Maxwell Sheffield in the remake of The Nanny. Excuse me just a minute. I got one on the line here. Okay. Oh, God, I think I really broke this. Oh, well. It's the public's money anyhow. Public radio. You'll buy me another pair. I know you will. Paulie Ryan is back in the house, not making eye contact. I mean, what can you say about a guy who can't deliver Janesville? You know, give me a minute. It's all good. Joe Biden can be Joe Biden again. President Obama's getting all weepy, though. That's, yeah. When he and Speaker Boehner get together, the dam gonna burst, is what I'm thinking. The fiscal cliff dam, you know, they got to inundate the fiscal valley with all those tears. You know, I gotta admit, I've got the post-electum, they call it, that syndrome. When you feel nobody's out to get you anymore, and no robocalls, no spam, just the Hong Kong cafe menus on the doorknob. Used and abandoned. What gives? I'm middle class. A little tension here. Huh? On the other hand, nice to have the time to leisurely pick and choose your elective surgeries. Under Obamacare, law of the land. I love it. Okay. That's cool. I don't know which one to get first. There's a lot to think about as far as your electives. President Obama's second term, all about climate change. It's me. I do climate change first term. Get it out of the way. Coast through the second term, maybe a, you know, dental hygiene thing or gum recession. You know, just ram through gum recession. Something easy. Second term, you know, relax. In other news, if any, you can now smoke pot in Colorado, but it's a drag being arrested. But it's a drag, okay. But it's a drag being arrested when you're high, so there's no point in doing it. After the re-election, the anti-Obama movie goes straight to PowerPoint. Much GOP soul-searching so far, nothing. Yeah. All right, so I'll get letters about that. That's okay. Next guy who says fiscal cliff, though, gets it. Oops, I guess that'd be me. At least call it the FC. And I'm tired of fiscal cliff, fiscal cliff. FC. Except KFC wouldn't like it, I guess. Is that a fiscal cliff or are you unhappy to see me? You know, that sort of thing. You think the new Super Earth has a super fiscal cliff on it somewhere? Possibly. Does not a fiscal cliff imply fiscal lemmings? And who would they be, I'm wondering? Anyone come up with fiscal cliff notes? I'm just saying, I'm throwing it out there. And is it really a cliff or just adjacent to a large fiscal hole that would make it not actually a cliff then. I think everybody says fiscal cliff 100 times fast, it will lose its magic powers. So, you want to?
Yeah.
No, me neither. You can do it, though. Whoever wanted to can do it. Anyway, a rich man, other news, a rich man getting to heaven may still be a camel through a needle, but an oil executive is now Archbishop of Canterbury. Good news, it's not Tony Hayward, you know, remember Tony? Other news, Romney lost re-examined. Yep, still there. Republicans seriously look at salsa lessons to get the Latin vote. Next time, they gotta do something desperate. Daniel Day-Lewis stars in My Left Lincoln. Rule of thumb now is don't buy off the lot from Sandy's used cars. Okay. Black Friday is now Black Thursday the week before. That's been changed. And really, they should eliminate Thanksgiving altogether, I think, because it gets in the way of Black Friday. And it's not like we need another Packers-Lions game anyway, you know. Never turns out well. Turns out not only the footballs, but USC has been deflating their Trojans as well. Turns out not only the footballs, but USC has been deflating their Trojans as well. I don't think that should be in there. That, if it made sense, it still wouldn't be funny. A man praying in the aisle of the United Jet thought he was too good to pray in his seat like everybody else. It's the start of the drone season in Iran. It won't last till February, I think. It is now believed the ancient Mayans went over a fiscal cliff. Though NASA is all excited about it, President Obama will not declare we will land a man on an asteroid by the end of the decade. Because it sounds stupid. It's not inspirational at all to say we'll land a man on an asteroid. Okay. I'm just saying. Man had tools 70,000 years ago, but forgets where he left them. And finally, and I mean that, a new dinosaur species found in Canada, the Dine-A-saur. A. That's all the news that is, and always end with a groan is my motto. Dine-A-saur. A. Okay. What? Oh, I broke them? Oh, thank you very much. You need them? If you need them more than me, go ahead, you wear them. Thank you, Tom. Tom Blaine. I don't know what he does for us, but he does it good. Oh, yeah, that's okay. Now, you're from Canada, Sarah Nix, aren't you?
Sorry, we were talking about headphones.
Yes, you're Canadian, huh?
I am.
So the A thing probably resonated with you.
It did. I got the joke right away.
Okay, good. Excellent. Patrick Somerville has a new book out, This Bright River. It's called A Novel. I like they put that on there, just in case you're wondering what you bought here. It could be a cookbook. You never know. No, it's a novel. This Bright River. He's with us, as a matter of fact. Join us right here in our studio. Patrick Somerville, author of The Cradle, with This Bright River, A Novel. You don't need those unless you need them.
No.
You can have them if you want.
That was a little...
Headphones?
Little Leonard Cohen right there.
Okay.
That was nice.
What?
Yeah. I liked it. Thank you.
What?
We're communicating with each other.
Oh, you are. Well, don't do it
you
at my expense,
you wouldn't get
please.
It. Yeah.
A novel. Did you know it was a novel?
Yeah, I did. And once I saw the cover, I knew.
Yeah. Do they do this with all novels, put a novel on there?
They do it often, I
was
think.
There some doubt about This Bright River being a novel?
There was no doubt that it was a novel. As far as I knew when I was handing it in. Yeah. Maybe they wondered after they got it, and then they had to reassure themselves.
So are we talking the Fox? You know, you're from Green Bay, right? So
I am.
Which river are we talking about?
It's made up. It's called the Bright River. It's in the UP in the book, in the story.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But I mean, we're trying to figure out, now these guys are actually from a place called, what's it called?
St. Helens, Wisconsin.
St. Helens.
Another made-up town. Yeah.
And you gave sort of, you said where it was, so I got a map.
Oh, no.
And we're trying to narrow it down here.
No one's ever put this much pressure on my
Benton City. It's very important here. So we're looking, it's near Kettle Moraine.
Yeah.
And near Milwaukee. And it's 30 miles from there. And we come towards, if we go towards Watertown.
Uh-huh.
It's not Oconomowoc, I'm pretty sure. It's not Delafield because that's too close to Milwaukee.
Right.
But there is a Helenville.
It's around there.
Did you know that? St. Helens, Helenville?
It may have had something to do with
Helenville?
The naming.
Well, I see a reaction to Helenville. Have you been to Helenville? Did you grow up there?
No, I haven't been there. Never seen it. No, I've seen it on a map, though. But it's also a little joke. And my mother is from England, and she was born in a town called St. Helens, too. And so I wanted to make up a town for the story, and it's also in my other book, The Cradle. But I wanted to kind of make it an imagined town just so I could move the Dunkin' Donuts around or whatever. Yeah. No Dunkin' Donuts in Wisconsin, but, you know.
Because I actually did a study of Helenville, and none of the places you mentioned in the book in St. Helens are there.
That's right.
Remotely. There's just a post office, and there's a Stop and Shop kind of.
Well, you verified what I could have told you here.
Now, the New York Times, you got a great review from Janet Maslin. Well, not a great review, but you got a review, and that's the important thing, yeah. Right? It's more important to have a review than to have even a, you know, necessarily a good one.
Yeah, it was fine. It was a little bit strange, though, too, in that some of the information contained in the review didn't seem quite accurate relative to
totally
the book.
Inaccurate.
Yeah. Totally inaccurate, yeah.
Because the book begins with this scene, which is kind of strange, in Madison. Madison's a big player in this book, so that's kind of cool. I like that. And you mentioned Wisconsin Public Radio, which is...
I did.
You know, they're very grateful for that. Any mention whatsoever. And that's why you're on, as a matter of fact. Totally payback.
I knew that back then. Yeah. That's why I put that in there.
But a guy gets... beaten up pretty bad after being at the bar with this guy, and guy gets down, hits him on
Nick's.
The head, and we don't know what happens to him.
Yeah.
And Nick's.
They're at
Nick's,
yeah. Yeah.
With the steam tables, Nick's, that one?
Yeah.
Wow.
You guys know Nick's? People go there?
Yeah. All these local places are in the book. It's kind of, so you think, well, maybe this is actually happening then, you know? And then, but the reviewer got the wrong guy who was hit on the head.
Yeah, that's where the confusion started, which is a problem because it's the beginning of the book.
Yeah. So does that invalidate a bad review then?
Well, in my mind, I guess, but it doesn't, you know, in the end it's fine just because it's good, like you said, it's good to get the review. But it was it's a little bit hard to take a lot of the conclusions seriously with that. Yeah.
But
that
she reviewed the first one. She loved it.
She gave a great review to The Cradle, my first novel.
Yeah. Yeah. And she actually sort of liked this one too.
Kind of, yeah. Seemed like she was holding back, like she was trying to be nice.
Yeah, and then, but she said the guy might have been hit on the head. That's why this book, I think she was referring to you, actually.
Yeah, in the subtext, yeah.
The author might have been hit on the head and tended to ramble. But
which I do.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it is 400 pages.
Yeah, it's a little long. It's a little much.
You know, I said it to David Foster Wallace, and I'll say it to you. No book has to be that long. You know?
What did and he then say? What did he say to that?
He was pretty funny about it. I forget what he said. And I said, what's with all the footnotes? I said, do you throw anything away? He said, technically they're endnotes because they're at the end.
Well, that's funny.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. There's a reason for things being the length they are.
Yeah, and The Cradle is a pretty short novel, my first novel, and I wanted to just tell a story that was a little bit slower, a little bit longer, and get to know the people a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And so it's 400 pages.
Whose phone is that?
Probably my dad's.
Why do you have a phone that sounds like a phone? That is so weird. Imagine having a phone that sounds, your ringtone sounds like a phone. Very upsetting notion. It's good, though. I like it, though. And this guy, Ben, is an interesting character.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. Does he have something in common with you? Maybe a little bit.
So his story is the story of a guy who grows up in Wisconsin, goes away to the West Coast throughout most of his 20s, and does not really do very well at life for that 10 years. And he comes back in his early 30s and kind of gets his life in order living back in the town where he grew up. And so I share some qualities with him. I did not move to Portland and become a heroin addict like he did. But
who has the time?
Yeah. Really. But at the same time, I think his sort of, like a lot of people who are just sort of trying to find their way, especially in their early 20s. I think I wandered a bit like he did, too. Yeah.
And there's a lot of Wisconsin-ness to him and to the book.
Oh, you think so?
Well, yeah, I think so. People in Wisconsin would appreciate the Wisconsin-ness to it. Even the fact that if he leaves the state, everything goes to hell.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
You have to come back to Wisconsin. You only do good in Wisconsin if you're from Wisconsin. You know, yeah. Outside, horrible things can happen. You come back.
Yeah, and then that happens in the UP too. That he goes to the UP and terrible things happen.
UP, he's got to get back. To I know we have some Upers here, so I don't want to say anything bad about.
Are there Upers here?
Yeah, we have two Upers right there.
Not that terrible. It's also beautiful up there.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's just necessary for the purposes of the book.
Yeah,
and this is sort of like Wisconsin Death Trip meets Catcher in the Rye or something.
That's good. Can I have that blurb?
Yeah, yeah.
In paperback?
It is, because he's sort of a protector of people, of youth, and trying to find out what's going on. But there's also this whole Wisconsin stuff going on. You know, the mass murders, the usual thing.
Yeah, you know, typical Wisconsin stuff.
You know, I mean, there's a history of it anyhow. And that sort of plays in. There's a lot of the murder and stuff in this book.
There's a little bit. I'm a sucker for a crime drama always, and so there's a little bit of that in here. And there's a mystery in it too. But I think the violence that's floating around in the book is also kind of about. It's part of the story of both the characters, the lead female character Lauren too.
Lauren,
it's sort of about history kind of always coming back to find you, no matter how quickly you run or where you go, it'll catch up with you eventually.
Right. And but there's even good murder and bad murder.
You know. No, they're all bad.
At one time, Ben says to Lauren, he said, about the guy he just killed, he said, was it as bad as this other murder that his cousin did?
Yeah, right. He's trying to figure out kind of what the distinctions are, those hazy distinctions between kinds of violence.
And she said, no, this was a good murder. So
that's kind of what she said.
Yeah, sorry, more or less. So I thought that was good. There's good murder and bad. It was certainly called for in the case of this guy who was her ex-husband, I guess. One of the things I hate to do is, do you mind if some things are given away in discussing the book?
You've just given away the entire plot.
Yeah,
of the book,
I
don't mind at all.
I had a horrible incident with one of America's leading authors.
Former friend.
Well, we were never friends or anything like that. And just because I gave away a thing, and I didn't intend to do it. It was just that the book culminated in something that occurred in Minnesota. And I said, boy, if you only could have, this guy could have been discovered in Wisconsin instead. And then everyone went, oh, no, he said he was.
Who was this? Can we get some names?
Oh, no, I don't even want to go back to that again. I hate mail. Never got hate mail like from, you know.
He's listening now. Do you want to apologize?
No, it's not a he. So. Yeah, I did. I really was not intentional. But so it's hard to do, discuss a book, and then I guess I ruined it already, though.
You did.
Yeah.
No need to read the book anymore, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Then there's this whole puzzle thing. This Ben is like a puzzle solver,
mm-hmm.
and a game, not exactly a gamer.
Yeah, he's sort of, with that character I was thinking of, I feel like everybody knows someone like this or has someone like this in their family. The person you know who's just really, really good at every game that you ever play with them, every board game, every puzzle, every kind of, they just have a mind for that kind of thing. And he's that way too, and in his wanderings, he falls in with a guy and they invent a video game together, and that sort of plays a background role in this story. So he's sort of that guy who's good at every game, but he can't figure out how to live very well.
Yeah. He can figure out puzzles except life puzzles.
Right.
But he does, actually, and he does figure out a major puzzle in this book, which I'm not going to even say, because it's so crucial to the understanding and enjoyment of this book. Involving his cousin Wayne, I might add, who died under mysterious circumstances in the UP. However, I'll say no more. But that's one of the things, the puzzle.
And I like that too, because I think really good stories have that feeling to them as well. I wouldn't call a good mystery a puzzle exactly, but I think you're touching on that same kind of pleasure.
Yeah.
And so I like a book that has a little bit of work that the audience has to do.
Yeah, the twist on this is Ben was in prison for burning down his friend's house accidentally.
No, that's actually just a real description of the story. We got some laughs over there.
And that's when he wrote these little episodes, these little vignettes or whatever that he sent to his friend, this Jeremy guy, who made it into a video game, made a fortune on it.
Right, right. And in the end of the book, he's sort of like the guy who made Farmville, or you know, those annoying little games that come through on Facebook. But there's one puzzle in the middle of the book that you don't have to solve if you don't want it for the story, but you can take some time and solve it.
Which one was that?
This is right in the middle here with the pictures.
The one?
The
one?
Remember when you got to the middle of the book and you read this part?
I skipped that. I skipped that because I don't like puzzles. Oh, yeah, no, I skipped that.
And you were allowed to. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, so,
those are rivers, are they?
You're on the right track already, Michael.
Hence the river, the Bright River.
And that was good because I got some people to write in with their solutions and explaining how they figured out the puzzle. I didn't actually make it. There was this guy in Chicago who was named The Puzzler. He wrote for the Red Eye, which is a weekly little newspaper, and he made the puzzle for me. And
the puzzles are sort of like a red herring or a MacGuffin.
Yeah, yeah.
Hitchcock used to call them MacGuffin. The thing that absolutely nothing to do with what you need to know that's going on. It's just there to mislead you into thinking something's going to be solved.
Yeah, yeah. But that one, unlike some of the other ones in the book, like I think it clearly sort of is like you don't have to do this if you want to keep going. I wouldn't do that to you.
It's like intermission from the book here. Here's a puzzle. You can look. But the book itself was not written. And at one point he says people don't read novels anymore. They play video games or something like that, or they they do puzzles.
I kind of think that.
What?
That people don't read novels anymore. They play video games.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
But I mean, it's unusual, isn't it, somewhat to think of novels and video games both telling stories in the same way? Is that?
Yeah, I think. Well, I think the video games are becoming more and more sophisticated, and I think that they're moving into more complicated stories, and that is going to be a change that we see. And I think at the same time, too, writers are figuring out ways to use iPad or different ways of reading to integrate kind of different pieces of media into novels as well. So I think that they're bending toward one another a little bit, all with that aim of storytelling, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. But it actually, so then I was thinking, when I sort of got to that, I think that this actually is a puzzle or a video game that we should be playing in the reading of, but it really is not.
I don't understand what you just said.
Okay.
But yes.
I mean, it's not that you go through and there are different levels you get through and finally you get to the you get to the end of the game or something.
Yeah, it's built a little bit like that. Yeah, okay. But at the same time, I think Ben is finding out, and this is the reason why that kind of like being good at games thing doesn't apply very well to life, that it's in the end life is just too complicated for that. The rules are always changing and the players are always changing. And so I think the book is sort of about him understanding that you can't use whatever that skill is to navigate your family and your history and your relationships in the same way.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's good. It's very good. And I'm interested in this thing now. When this whole thing came up with Janet Maslin wrote the thing and she got that wrong and they had to do a correction because it's the New York Times, right?
Right. And the I made an email address so people could write in to solve that puzzle. And that's the only reason I made the address, and it's the main character's name at gmail.com. Yeah. And so the New York Times didn't write to me. They wrote to him.
I gives you some idea about their fact-checking at the New York Times.
Well, they didn't say Patrick. They said, Dear Ben, are you the one who got hit in the head in the prologue of Patrick Somerville's novel?
And so you answered.
I did answer as though I was Ben.
Yeah.
And then we went back.
What was this guy's name, Ed or something?
Yeah, Ed Marks. Ed Marks. Culture Desk at New York Times.
Culture Desk.
Great guy. He, honestly, really,
yeah,
really
sounds
great
like
guy.
A sweet guy and everything.
Yeah. We had a long exchange and, it was nice in that he obviously had a kind of a wry sense of humor. And even though it didn't feel great what was going on, I liked that there was this nice human face to the New York Times emerging, which usually just seems...
Is it true you exchanged 38 emails?
38, yeah.
38 emails with a fact checker who thought the character was a real person.
No. He never thought it was a real person.
No.
He was always joking around.
Oh, he was.
You know,
okay.
It was always a little tongue-in-cheek. He wasn't confused about reality.
That's a little better
than
that was. And is there going to be something coming out, a movie coming out of this or a video game?
No.
No? Nothing?
No. Not that I know of.
You mean the review killed off every hope you had?
It was
a good thing. I mean, that's got to be that actually.
I wouldn't have put it like that, Michael.
Yeah.
But I would say
it's a good thing.
I would say also that the book is sort of. I mean, it's sort of probably doesn't lend itself well to being a movie either. There's a lot of long scenes and there's a lot of kind of interior stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, we cut most of that out.
Yeah, that's true.
Otherwise, it'd be like a 4-hour movie then. Get it down to at least 2, I think, to make it, you know, marketable. Then we got to worry about the leads.
Yeah.
We can work
on
this.
Take care of it. Let's talk after.
I did like the little piece you wrote about at home. Your wife read the review to you as you buried your head in the couch.
Yeah. Not the greatest feeling at the moment it comes out.
Yeah. Do you usually not read a review, or do you?
I usually read them. I do.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit suspicious when my author friends say they don't.
Yeah, I can't believe they wouldn't.
I would have. It's just the internet makes it so easy that I mean I would have believed that someone maybe didn't go down to the library to find the Boston Globe and read the review of themselves 30 or 40 years ago. But the internet is just too easy. I think everyone ends there eventually ends up finding them all.
But it's a good thing. It's a good thing in the end because it is the New York Times no matter what.
Yeah.
And the book is This Bright River. It is a novel, in case you're wondering. It's on there on the cover. And it
says that on the front, yes.
Yes, very good. And very accomplished novelist, Patrick Somerville. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
Nice to have you here. The pride of Green Bay, Patrick Somerville. It's on Little Brown. It's now Reagan Arthur Little Brown. Reagan Arthur joined Little Brown. I have no idea. No one tells me anything.
Cool.
Yeah. It's a good one. You'll enjoy it. Pick it up. Pick it up and read it.
Don't just use it. I mean, don't just put it on the shelf.
Right. Thank you, as always, John, for cutting to the quick. Yes. So many people just buy books to put on shelves.
They do.
I'm tired of that.
Do it all the time.
Sometimes they'll gut them out and put a transistor radio in
there. Yeah, or a, you know, a pistol or some contraband smuggled into church.
Yes, contraband.
Mm-hmm. Always got to keep your eyes open.
For contraband.
Yeah.
Yes, you do. The deer hunters put their contraband in there.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, up in the deer stand.
Don't kid yourself. You think that's a book shelf in the tree stand? No, that's not. That's contraband. So what you got here for us? Did you ever go deer hunting, by the way? Your dad gave you that over and under shotgun, didn't he?
It's just a shotgun.
A shotgun. You can't use that deer hunting, huh?
Typically, I don't think you use shotgun. You don't go deer hunting with shotguns, no.
Spray and just knock a bunch of raccoons out of the trees and stuff.
No, I never did. I never liked hunting.
Didn't he take you? Because your dad was like guns.
Yeah, he liked it. We went fishing mostly, but I would tramp around the woods with him, but they would be like, you know, let's try to get that rabbit. And it's like, I can't shoot a rabbit with a .22.
I can see trapping them. You know, I like tramping. Steel jaws. Yeah, or something. You know?
I like walking around the woods, but I didn't really like shooting stuff. I would rather like set up some glass bottles and blow those up.
Yeah. Okay.
That was more fun to me.
All right. Okay there.
Okay there.
How you doing?
Oh, good.
That's good. Looking good.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Yeah. I have a rested couple of weeks. I haven't seen you in a while.
No.
No?
Since Fargo.
Yeah. So you didn't have arrested? I mean, not that you were arrested.
I wasn't arrested. No. Yeah. I was detained for a while, but ultimately I wasn't arrested.
They can't prove a thing.
No, not a thing.
Okay.
This is a tune by the pianist Tad Dameron called On a Misty Night.
Michael Feldman.
Oh, no. All right. Thank you. Shirley Dupree? Deppies. Yeah. How are you? Milwaukee, what do you enjoy doing in your spare time? Nothing. I am so in need of a hobby because the girls are out of the house now. I can't do the fatherhood things, you know, which is mainly schlepping anyway. Schlepping and buying. Paying, not buying, paying, but they're buying. So I was thinking Civil War miniatures, painting them. Because I'm desperate. I really need some. Plus, you know, looking ahead, I need a retirement skill. I don't have a single retirement skill. Do you have a hobby?
Yes.
What do you do?
I said it, I think about what I did.
All right, I can do that.
I've been a lifelong farmer, so I've got a lot to, you know, think about.
You go back over crop yields and stuff?
Sure. Yes. Yeah. At farming time, you know, the season, the harvest, the planting, you get all excited about getting out and doing it, but heck, it's easier sitting here.
And your name is?
Larry Hopkins.
Larry. Nice to meet you, Larry. I'm going to do like Larry. See, but I don't even have crops to remember, though. What am I talking about? Crop? I don't have any crops to remember.
Huh? You'll have to get out and do that.
You wish you would have left more fields fallow?
I tell you, I'm glad I'm out of farming because the technology that has come into cropping and livestock the last few years is, it just blows your mind. You just can't believe it. Yeah.
Well, nice to have you here. Thanks for that was helpful. I'll think about what I can think about. What does forward mean to you? Yolita Gallagher? Hey, how are you? What does it mean to you? A direction, really, is what I think of, but.
Retirement.
Forward means retirement to you? That's what she's saying up there on the Capitol? Go retire. Lady retirement on top of the Capitol. Yeah, I don't know. It's absolutely meaningless. It's been used so much now. As you know, forward, reverse. Okay, that's about it. I'll go with that. As a slogan, it's pretty bad because, who says backward? You know, I will take you backward. Doesn't work as a slogan. Are you in the market for a biographer? Ruth Meyer. Where are you, Ruth? What comes with that? What sort of research are we talking here?
Pen and paper.
Okay, my biography all out. We'll talk. Let's talk. Okay. You'll have to practically live with me, though, to get the full story of what... Yeah, no, it might not be fun, though, either. Paul Redd from Idaho Falls is here. He asked, who brought the ostrich? Is that code for something? Where is Paul? Is that you? Oh, you're Paul?
Yeah.
Who's the guy next to you, then?
My brother, John.
That's John?
Yeah.
Are you guys both from Idaho?
Yes.
Well, what brings you here? How'd you get out?
Children.
How did you get out of Idaho?
An airplane.
I thought you can get in, but you can't get out, is what I understood about Idaho.
I flew United Airlines.
Yes. Really? The Commodore was up again, huh?
Surprisingly so.
And you're also there, from there?
Yes, sir.
Whereabouts? Idaho Falls? Is that what it is?
Falls. We bought tickets for your show in Pocatello.
Oh, you did? Okay.
And you canceled because it was a fire, and it only burned 50 houses and 5,000 acres. But that was...
We're a little sensitive about being in disasters. The show is disaster enough, you know.
Small fire. A very small one. We had a 750,000-acre fire on one side of the state, 480,000 on the other side.
We had shows scheduled for those, too.
Oh, I bet you did.
That was just the latest disaster we were playing.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry we couldn't do it.
Well, I am, too, because I still got those tickets.
Did you get your money back?
Well, yes, I did. Okay.
All right, you guys. And what are you in town for?
Well, to visit our relatives, Thanksgiving, and your show.
Well, isn't that sweet? Huh?
That calls for a
These guys are all right. The Reds, right? Reds? The Reds. Two D's, if you please. What do we have for the Reds for Thanksgiving? Something to go with dinner, perhaps?
How about adding enchantment to their dining experience with Domaine de Sac and Prairie Fumée Superior Wines from the Wallersheim Winery?
Yeah, for Thanksgiving there. Okay?
Fantastic. That would be wonderful.
Enchantment. Have a little enchantment.
Thank you, sir.
A little enchantment. You betcha. You betcha. It's the least I can do for letting them down so badly on that whole show there we didn't do at the time. Yeah, I know. It's the least I can do. We're running low on time, aren't we?
A little bit.
Yeah? How much time I got?
You have about 20... Oh, I'm not good at math. 16 minutes.
16 minutes?
Yeah.
I got 1 minute till the quiz, though.
Yes, that's right.
Well. You're like my accountant. You're giving me all these figures, and they didn't mean...
And a bill.
Okay. I'll come back here. Etiquette question. How long is it proper to leave our Obama signs up in the front yard? Well, we have some neighbors who still have their FDR signs up, so... You know, I think it's like your Christmas lights. You know, you can't really tell anybody because they'll do what they want to do. Anyway. And Dominic, one last one here, born in Malaysia. How much did I weigh when I was born? Okay, I have no idea, Dominic. How much? I would say 10 pounds, 1 ounce.
12 and three quarters.
Holy cow. I wouldn't have guessed that, Dominic. But you haven't put on that many since, I'll say that for you. We're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz, a chance to win fabulous prizes simply for being fabulous. And before we can do that, we have to have the four disclaimers. You take those, and I'll meet you at the aisle, okay? Find out who can and cannot participate on the What Do You Know quiz, which is a certified quiz. And you are?
Noreen O'Brien.
Hi, Noreen. Are you from here?
Not originally, no.
Where are you from now?
I'm from Fond du Lac, and okay. I used to be from St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay, Noreen.
Oh, thanks. I get to hold the microphone. Okay, the four disclaimers. Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, kind of miss the robocalls. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Very good. You can do that for a living. We can keep that because we don't pay cash here. But you can... Let's see the hands of those of you who want to play the What Do You Know quiz and would like to indicate that by raising your hand. And all right, come on, come on. Yes. All right. It's not just because you're the only guy who raised his hand. I want you to know that. There's something about you. You have a je ne sais quoi. And you are?
Bill Burke.
Bill, are you from around here?
Well, from Milwaukee originally. I live in Dallas now.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that a little earlier in the show. And what brought you to Dallas from Milwaukee?
Work, and I came up for a Mark Knopfler concert.
And you stayed?
Yep, stayed in action. Been listening to your show for years, so I came up to see you as well.
When was that concert?
Well, I saw him in Milwaukee on Thursday night and Chicago on Friday night.
Oh, you're here for them. I thought you went to to Dallas for them.
No.
Bill, right?
Yeah, Bill.
Give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Geez, I'm absolutely stumped.
Pulling out of wherever you pull things out of.
I can make up funny answers.
Okay, that's good. See? Anything you say is right, Bill, as far as I'm concerned. Come on down here if you would. Join me as we ascend the What Do You Know stage. We are ascending right now. You have a seat right there, Bill. Put this up because you're a big guy. All right. So what field of enterprise are you in?
I repair magnetic resonance imaging scanners.
Oh, I used to
I'm an engineer.
I used to do that, but it was more of a hobby thing, you know. Used to tinker with them. Not so much repairing. I'd tinker with them, you know. But then I always have a screw left over when I was done. Does that happen to you?
You never know where the extra parts go.
No, but you can resonate them and find them.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, that's an interesting thing. How did you get into that?
Well, living in Milwaukee, GE is based there.
Oh.
And I worked for GE for years. And
GE resonating?
Yep, GE. Generous Electric.
Yeah. Do they have a resonating department or section?
They have a whole department that's
it resonates.
It doesn't always resonate. No.
No.
It misfires sometimes.
Were you trained as a resonator, or how did that? I mean, you're an engineer.
Engineer, and I was trained by them. Yeah.
Okay, but you were what kind of engineer were you then?
Electrical.
Okay, I know there's various kinds.
Yeah.
I know too. Electrical and civil.
And railroad.
And a choo-choo engineer. Okay, that's cool. Well, that's cool. And did you go to school in Wisconsin?
UW. Yep.
All right. Varsity. Okay. Forgot it, huh? Okay. That's cool. And you came up for the concert?
Yep.
So you're still living down there?
In Dallas, yeah. I've been there almost 20 years now.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But they came for the concert?
Yep.
That was Dylan concert, though, wasn't it? Dylan was there, too?
Yeah, Bob Dylan. Well, personally, I'm not a Bob Dylan fan, so I stayed for the Mark Knopfler part of it.
You mean you left when Bob Dylan came on? Actually, why don't you sleep like all the other guys in the audience?
Exactly.
Catch a few wings. I read a review that said two people were sleeping, and I don't know. Anyhow, at least Dylan wasn't one of them, so that's a good sign. All right, and a good. Did you enjoy it at least?
A wonderful concert.
Yeah, Mark Knopfler.
Yep.
Got to say the Canay.
Canay.
And
yeah.
Knopfler. All right, so someone out there plays along with you on this quiz. You know how it works, Bill?
Yeah. Yep. Listened to it many times.
Okay, good. And how does that work then, Sarah?
Do not touch that digital keypad. This is an encore of What Do You Know, so there's no need to call now.
If there is a most healthy diet, and let's assume there is a diet that would be most healthy, one in how many Americans actually seem to have it as adults? Assuming there is a most healthy diet, the most healthy diet that you could be eating, one in how many Americans actually have them, like one in how many? Let's go to the phones right now, and Ken's on the line from Cleveland. Hey, Ken.
Hi, Michael.
You a healthy eater?
Sometimes.
Yeah? Okay. would you say you have a healthy diet?
I have a healthy diet maybe 7 out of 10 times, which is probably higher than the number of Americans.
Okay. So then what would you say as far as Americans overall, adults, in terms of having one in how many have a healthy diet, eat a healthy diet?
1 in 4 Americans.
That's close enough.
All right.
It's 1 in 5, but that's not going to happen soon. And that's surprisingly high and I think untrue.
I agree.
I think it's totally erroneous. It's like maybe 100, you know, really. When people say they have a healthy diet, but okay. Ken, yeah. This is Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, Ken, how you doing?
Mighty fine, thanks. How are you?
Real good.
He's here for all your resonating needs, all your magnetic resonating, no other resonating. And Ken, what do you do there in Cleveland?
I do benefits online enrollment setup. Blech.
Okay. That's good. That's good. I keep meaning to do that. Okay, and two of you work together. Now you're a team, okay? This is no competition here. Okay?
Okay.
And the two of you work together as a brain trust. And what's on the agenda there, Sarah?
Well, the
car is, you know.
Categories?
Categories, that's
categories,
the word I'm
right,
searching
yeah.
for.
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Are those your socks striped, or is that your shoe? That
no,
is?
That is, in fact, my sock, yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. what were you saying, Bill? Oh, nothing. Okay. Ken, what would you like out of those categories?
How about current events, if we haven't tapped them all?
Current events, yes. All in is whose biography? Current events.
Talk about just it. Talking about this.
Yeah, it was on earlier, and of course I'm drawing a blank.
Mm-hmm. Mark Knopfler made it. Mark Knopfler?
Cloak and...
David Petraeus.
David Petraeus.
Yes, that's right, General Petraeus. All in, look for it. It's a bestseller all of a sudden, I'll tell you that. And that would be
one right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left then, Sarah?
People, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Bill?
I'd go for things you should have learned in school.
Okay. Okay, should have learned this in school for pimples. Do you hold the mayo or you dollop it on? Mayonnaise for pimples.
Boy, that's a good one.
What, you never tried this?
Mayo.
Can't believe you never even tried. You what?
I've always held the mayo.
So you say no mayo for pimples? This is important. We should know this.
I'm on the far end of the medical field.
Yeah.
Closer than me.
Mayo, yes or no?
I'd say no.
Okay, hold the mayo. You're right. No mayo, kids. You can skip the mayo. We know that's not going to work.
That's 2 right and 0 wrong.
But Hellman's is probably the best if you're going to try it anyway. And go ahead, yes. What's left?
We have people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Back to Ken.
Let's try science.
Science. Okay, mice can sing, but they can't one of the following. They can't A, remember the words. B, carry a tune, or C, harmonize. Mice can sing, but they can't remember the words, carry a tune, or harmonize.
Ken, what do you think?
Well, they sound like they harmonize, but it might not be intentional.
Well, intentional or not.
You can't imagine they have a whole lot of memory.
hard to believe they'd remember the words.
Oh, it is hard to believe.
No, I think that's it.
I don't believe it.
I guess the whole concept's a little hard to believe.
The whole thing is. Yeah. The question is hard to believe. The show is hard to believe. We think about it. Can't go too far with that.
I don't think they even bother with the words. So why would they remember them?
So you're saying, A, you remember the words. They can't remember the words.
They can't remember the words.
Yeah, I can't remember the words.
That's right. Yeah. Whoa, you've won the quiz. All right. Holy cow. You guys are too smart for this show. Why don't you try Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me if you're so smart? Well, what the heck? They
could go for the mother load.
They could. You mean, is it a one for situation? I think it is.
I think it is a one for situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now you're saying, Sarah, let me get this straight.
Oh, gosh.
You're saying they could quit now and take
a bunch of great prizes home.
They're not that great, though, because that's not the whole.
Oh, they're great. Don't kid yourself.
Excellent.
Or they could go for the one additional, the one for, the special one for.
Uh-huh.
And win the what?
Even more fantastic prizes.
The whole shebang.
The whole shebang.
Giant, whatever that we call that. Cornucopia.
Yeah, I go for it.
You want to go for it?
Absolutely.
Ken, you want to go for it? Consult your partner.
I'll go for it.
They want to go for it. You got to get it right and get it wrong. You get nothing. You get nothing if you get it wrong. We didn't mention that. But so what's left there, Sarah?
People, places, or odds and ends.
People, places, odds and ends. Is it back to Ken then?
Yeah. Back to Bill, I think science.
I'm not much of a people, so yeah. I guess odds and ends.
Odds and ends, is that okay with you, Ken?
Yes.
Yeah?
Let's do it.
We'll make sure we're in agreement here. Odds and ends. Could be anything. Does making a fist improve your chances of making the shot, kick, or throw in sports? Making a fist first. A lot of guys make them afterwards. And is it too late, is what we're saying. Does making a fist improve your chances of making the shot, the kick, or the throw in sports?
Talk about oddities.
For everything.
It helps a lot. I think it helps one focus. Bill, do you make a fist before you make a repair? Does it help?
No, the customers frequently make them at me. But, I gotta think throw because it takes a certain amount of concentration to get it where you want it to go. I would guess that kick. I have no idea. I would go.
No,
for
it's
it.
Not. That's not the question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Any of the.
It's question. Does it improve your performance?
Does it improve
the chances of making your shot or whatever or your kick if you do a little fist?
Of course, more on point. I don't think so. I really don't.
Have you ever been wrong, Bill? I'm asking.
My wife would tell you frequently.
Okay, all right. Keep that in mind. Ken, what do you think?
I think it helps the focus, and I think it would help improve performance.
Huh.
A la Romney, I'll change my position. And I'm with you 100%.
He's taking a Romney. I know this one. You're right, Ken.
Right.
It does work. So do it. But remember to kick the ball afterwards. You've won everything we have. What is that, Sarah?
Bill, you've won Wisconsin Bounty and a choice assortment of handcrafted organic cheeses, along with their perfect companion, selected by the cheesemonger at Fermagination, located on Madison's historic Capitol Square. You can enter the exotic world of Chinese art and animals, decorative objects from the Bells Museum collection of Asian and Judaic art, a book from Bells Museum in Memphis. Add some sound with Paul Lindemeyer's book, Celebrating a Saxophone, which chronicles the instrument's history beginning in the 1840s workshops of Adolf Sax from Quill Books. And combine sight and sound reading Sentimental Journeys, an uncommon guide to classic movie theaters in Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, and Iowa by Mike and Vicki Walker from How High the Moon Publishing. I won't read the rest of these. I will just say... We'll be back live at Monona Terrace in Madison starting October 19th. For a full schedule and ticket information, click over to notmuch.com or call 608-262-2201. coming up in the next hour of What Do You Know? Michael gets cheesy with Gene Carpenter, and we head to Arizona for our Town of the Week. Plus, another edition of the What Do You Know quiz. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Welcome back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, Michael celebrates Wisconsin cheeses with Gene Carpenter, and we take a jump to Eloy, Arizona for our Town of the Week. Plus another hilarious round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who'd rather talk about a Montgomery Clift, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. There's a joke now I'm looking at. So we got this here then. Okay. All right. Just this here now. Because of all the election frenzy, the feeding frenzy that's been going on for months and months and months.
Tumult.
I have here five things you might have missed during the election. There was other news, but it wasn't reported. So five things you might have missed during the election tumult. Number one is an Austrian Goffin's cockatoo named Figaro learned how to use a tool to attract the BBC. Oh. Very interesting. Number two, Chris Brown and Rihanna's Nobody's Business marks their first collaboration since 2009's Domestic Violence. Also very big for them. Number three, the iPad Mini came out, and the word is pretty good, but pricey. Number four, that you might have missed during the election frenzy, Knock, a San Diego white whale, imitated the speech of his keeper, who was initially offended before realizing where it was coming from, from the whale. And five, there's still no hockey, but you probably got that news. So that's five things you might have missed during the election frenzy. That's okay, don't thank me. It's a public service, because we're public radio. That's what we do. It's all public service. And now, you know, like we do each week at this time, actual memos sent in by actual listeners and communications of various sorts. Yes, thanks for the memos. This just came off a box that was mailed to our office, actually, that contained...
White powder?
No. No, some sort of liquor, I guess.
I didn't hear about that.
I didn't hear about it either. I just got this thing from the box. That's all I got for this lousy... But it was somewhat amusing, and it's a FedEx thing. It said... This package contains alcohol, adult signature required, check ID, recipient must be at least 21 years old. Do not deliver to an intoxicated person. Well, who needs it more, really, than... Okay, thank you for that. Okay. And just some other things here. Hi, Michael, it's John and Mary Knight. I'm sure you do not remember me, John, because it was back in the early 90s when I played and won the quiz. Oh, I remember that, John, like it was yesterday. At the studio on University Avenue. Yes, I remember that. You may remember my wife, Mary. Oh, do I remember your wife? Because she gave you a brief Reiki session on the donut table. Huh? Reiki. I don't care what you call it. It was on the donut table. That's how I know. It was very relaxing. Not for me. She is a Reiki master. Well, I don't remember any of this, but it sounds like I used to have great times. We now live in Sun City. Well, that's the way things are going. Reiki master 1 minute, Sun City the next, in Arizona. The city has its own library, and the memo enclosed was directed at some of the thoughtless book borrowers. Best wishes, John and Mary Knight. Okay, let's see what you got here. Your cooperation is desperately needed. Please remember that the R.H. Johnson Library is your community lending library. You borrow, but do not own individual library items, so please be considerate of your neighbors who will borrow the books and other materials left after you. It is just common courtesy not to make marks inside the cover or on the outside of the pages. Do not eat, drink, or smoke while reading a library book. Do not read in the bathtub or pool. Do not write in the margins. Do not underline or cross out words on the pages. Do not edit. Do not tape your receipt inside the book. Remember, replacing damaged materials wastes money that could be used to purchase new items. In order to avoid being charged a replacement fee, please call the library immediately if you discover the item you just checked out has damage. Thank you. Okay, well, that's that. Not that good. Okay, I agree. How about this then? Well, thank you. And I remember that Reiki. I just remembered how to say it, but it was really on a donut table with the crawlers all around me. Or crawlers, some people say. All right. Here's another one here. How about this? A posting of a job on Virginia Jobs that someone sent in. Working title, Mouse Colony Manager. The University of Virginia. Mouse Colony Manager. Let's see what you got to do for that job description. This position exists to manage a large and complex mouse colony. If they're singing, I don't want the job. I don't care. I hate it when they make up words. Responsibilities include but are not limited to the following: working with lab director and someone else to review and maintain various colony strains, management and selection of breeders. Well, I could do that. Review, management, maintenance, and enforcement of animal protocols and lab procedures regarding mouse usage. Perform record keeping and data entry of mouse colonies with precision and timeliness, management and validation of mouse databases. Okay, I guess that's not even good either. Okay. Seemed promising. How about this one? Also library related, as earlier. Two library staff, patron with a problem, staff. An upset patron called yesterday. Saturday, his girlfriend placed one of his personal books in the book drop. I told him we would look for it. We have, and it has not surfaced. The cause of his agitation is that he placed his ownership certificate to his automobile in the pages of this book, and he is in the process of selling it. The title is The Complete Idiot's Guide to Auto Care. But you knew it would be. If you have the book or have seen it, please let me know pronto. Some patrons, defying logic, blame us for this, their own handiwork. Thanks from the librarian. Okay, we hit one there, I think. Thank you. For those memos, those notes, those letters, whatever you have. Where might one send all those things to?
If they want to send in memos, they can send them to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Hey, thank you, Sarah. Cheese Whiz is going on right now in this very building. Cheese World. Cheeses, whatever they call it. Right now, we have from that very important convocation of cheesemakers right now, Jean Carpenter, who herself is from the Cheese Underground. Oh, look at you. Brought a cheese with you.
Yeah.
Is that nice? What a cute little cheese that is. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me.
Now, you know, I have a little problem with the word artisan.
Hmm.
Because I assume it means somebody who's never made a cheese before would be called an artisan cheesemaker, right?
Well, that would be an amateur cheesemaker.
Amateur artisan. What does artisan exactly mean?
Artisan means it's made by hand.
Okay.
It's made small batches.
Right.
The cheesemaker has a relationship with the milk and knows.
Wait a minute. Let's take a step back here. Now, you farm. Did you have a relationship with your milk? He won't say. His wife is right there. Relationship with the milk, and what sort of relationship is
that? Well, that means...
Friendly, or...
Yes. Intimate, almost. It means that the cheesemaker...
Now you say intimate, almost.
It means that he or she knows exactly the farm where that milk came from.
Okay.
He knows the farmer. He knows the cows. The cows probably have names.
The cows know him, I bet, because he's been out there so much.
Probably, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cows.
Do cows
recognize
cows
people,
remember
but...
people?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they do. Okay. Some guys they step on continually, right? All right. And so, all right. So that's an artisan is all those things then.
Yes. Yes.
And but there's the interesting cheesemaker personality, and reading some of the material about it is that they don't usually talk to one another. Is that because they all have their secrets?
No.
And they don't want to, or they just are antisocial?
No, I always say that and cheesemakers' wives will usually tell you this, is that cheesemakers are married to their vats. It means that they don't...
They're clobber. Their clobber means the world to them, right?
They don't get out of the cheese maker room very much. You know, the making cheese is their thing. That's what they like to do. And so they don't
What
get
about
out.
Cutting the cheese? Is that the same way? Do they get out of the room to do that at least?
Not most of the ones I know, sadly.
No, sadly. So, but you're saying, so then what is it then? I mean, this thing brings together cheesemakers.
It does.
Like for the first time in a lot of...
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So...
There are not cheesemaker conventions usually, right?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. Yeah. I don't think there are cheesemaker conventions, but maybe I should start one.
This is sort of what this is, isn't it?
Yeah, this is. So all the cheese... Yeah, basically, every Wisconsin artisan farmstead and specialty cheesemaker is in the same room at the same time sampling their cheeses.
And each other's cheeses or just their own?
Well, the public is invited, so it's a public event. But then what happens after the closes to the public, then the cheesemakers start talking to each other. Mm. And very often you'll have some collaborations, you'll have some new ideas.
Collaborations?
Right, right. So it,
little cheese joke there.
I don't think they got it.
No. Clobber is very important in the cheese process.
Yes. Yes, very important. Yeah. But yeah, cheesemakers, they work all the time. They're really good at making cheese.
Don't they have day jobs, most of them?
You know, it's getting to the point where you can actually make money making artisan cheese in Wisconsin, and I'm very proud to say that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cheesemakers arise.
Yes.
You have nothing to lose but your curds.
Because you should. You should get paid, and you should be able to make a living doing what you love. And thankfully enough, consumers...
Wait a minute, this gets better. I don't believe it. We got you got somewhere you got to be? Oh, you're going to get the cheese? Well, come on, we got some right here. I'll share this. God, people are... In the middle of the show, would you walk out?
I may not get invited back.
All right. Okay, and then during this... You're a cheesemaker yourself.
I am not. I'm an educator.
So you're an educator.
So I talk about, I write about, and I eat cheese for a living.
Well, doesn't it make you want to make cheese yourself? Maybe try
it. It's a lot
cheese?
Of work, dude. Yeah. Have you ever made cheese?
It's a lot of work, dude. What is this?
I've made cheese with cheesemakers.
It's like I had my daughter back in the house.
I don't want to work that hard.
Huh?
It's super hard work.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It's hot.
Yeah.
It's 10 hours in a row.
And there's a lot that can go wrong. I was reading up on
it. You have
to
be strong. Yeah,
you know, I try to, you know, you can make mozzarella at home, right?
Yes.
And it's, they say, 30-minute mozzarella. And so I've done this, like, several times. Go through the whole thing. I have all the stuff, the milk, and then I forget I don't have rennet. We can't run out and get rennet.
Yeah, it's a serious
problem. Where are you going to run out and get rennet? You got to slay a goat or something. Take out its glands and get the right glands. And, you know, who's going to do that? And that's not 30 minutes. Then we're talking about a series of days to make a 30-minute.
Yeah,
cheese.
It's much harder than advertised.
Yeah. Okay, and this you brought a cheese with you here.
So
did you take this from one of those cheesemakers?
I did. I totally stole it. And so the cheese that I brought, it's really remarkably.
Ooh.
Listen to the audience.
It's very
pretty.
It's very pretty.
Yes. So this is an artisan cheese made in small batches by Chris Raleigh at Raleigh Cheese in Schulzburg, Wisconsin.
Raleigh.
Oh, there's some Schulzburg fans.
Oh, you know him? You all know him? How come you all know him? And most of you never heard of me. Okay, cool. Yeah,
it's called Red Rock. It has double the annatto that a normal orange cheddar. Annatto. A-N-N-A-T-T-O.
I know how to spell it, but what is it?
Oh, that's how cheddar becomes orange.
Oh, it's a dye?
It's a vegetable dye.
Okay.
So this has double the annatto of a regular orange cheddar, so it's a super deep orange, almost red.
Very orange.
It's aged in a cave, so it has this really beautiful white natural mold along the outside.
Is there a cave there in Schulzburg?
Built one. He just
How
built
can you build
one.
A cave?
Well, you dig a hole in the ground. And
that's like a fiscal cliff. I don't think you can actually build a cave. Is it fiscal cave?
He worked with the state of Wisconsin. It's totally legal. It's so.
I wasn't accusing.
Okay.
I wasn't accusing.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's
perfectly
legal.
But no, he built his own cave, and he's aging it underground on wooden planks. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's phenomenal. Do you want?
And this is it's called what?
Red Rock.
But what sort of a cheese is it?
It's an American original. So that means that it's never been created before.
It's American cheese?
It's a cheddar. It's a cheddar with
so it's
blue
like a,
veining.
Like a Kraft?
No.
Because I notice it's not sliced.
Right. This is not really... Let me cut it for you.
It's so, an American original, and that's really what you're all about, right?
Right,
in this group.
Yeah.
These are all like... They're reinventing the cheese.
Yeah.
Which is very exciting.
Can you eat it on air? Can you do that?
And
see
yes.
if you like it?
Yeah, I better do it.
John. John is my taster. John is my taster for most things, but I'll just take this one here just to stay in the flow of things.
Well, geez, after all this, I hope they like it. Mm.
Sarah?
Yeah.
Mm. Sarah will have some.
Oh, very good.
Mm. I'm pro cheese.
Here you go.
Oh, Sarah!
What are you? You're Michael Finley? You dropped that?
I think John's going
to should have had that one. That was right in her mitt.
Mmm, yummy.
Sure, Michael Nick.
Floor cheese. I like floor cheese.
Unbelievable. It's delicious.
It is.
Fabulous.
Yeah,
too.
And this is what comes from American ingenuity. Mm. You know, American cheesemakers.
Jeff, did you want some?
Sure. Oh,
throw
let's
it
cut some
I'll
more.
Throw one.
Okay.
There you go. That was, all right. It could have had it. It could have had it. It wasn't really a bad pass.
We need to have soup people on next time. That would be fun, throwing soup around the
throwing table. Soup, yes. And crackers after it. Mmm, wonderful, wonderful.
Go ahead. I'll let you keep eating. But this is a great example of American ingenuity. This is what American cheesemakers are becoming known for.
Uh-huh.
You know, Europe has their very much old world traditions.
Denmark, for example.
Yeah, they have their Brie, they have their Goudas, their English, their Stilton. But Americans, we're not bound by all of those old traditions and rules. We can kind of make stuff up. And this is what happens when you make stuff up. It's pretty cool.
It's
a really good cheese.
Very, you would love it. I wish we had enough to go around.
Yeah.
I can throw a couple pieces out there. Oh! Good grab. Over there, yep.
Oh.
A little piece there. Oh! Cheese catching is a lost art. It really is.
Did you hear that? You're supposed to make a fist first. That will help with your performance.
Oh, make a fist.
Yes.
Okay. Oh! So many errors in the audience. It's unbelievable. I'll just try one more. Okay, this is really not a good thing.
You may not get invited back as a,
Jerusalem Presbyterians. It's a long throw to Jerusalem, but I'm going
to. Oh, he has to stand up for this one.
I flubbed it.
E for effort.
Well, it's fabulous, and then there's an award for the most innovative cheese or something. And
you know, there isn't, but I want to start one
at
my festival. I don't have one yet. I want to make like a People's Choice Award. I think that's going to be next year. This happens every year. Next year is November 1st and 2nd here at the Banana Terrace.
And I think what you're saying to me is like the American artisan cheese movement started in the place where the wine American wines were.
Yeah, exactly.
Many years ago. Now they are, in many cases, outranking European varietals.
Right. Yeah,
that sounded like I knew what I was talking about.
I did, you too.
Very nice.
Yeah. So are we at that point yet where American cheeses have that
I mean,
world acclaim?
At world contests, American cheeses are starting to win. They're starting to beat the European cheeses. This isn't making the Europeans very happy.
No.
We think it's cool.
Yeah. Well, they're not happy anyhow. They got lots of problems going on. This is a delicious cheese. And who made this again?
This is Raleigh cheese in Schulzburg.
Raleigh cheese? Is there a Raleigh in Raleigh cheese?
R-O-E-L-L-I is their last name.
Okay.
It's Chris Raleigh.
Chris Raleigh.
Great guy.
Fabulous. Thank you for bringing that in. And it's all going on here at the Monona Terrace right now, right?
Yes.
Okay. So don't leave now, but after the show, go over there. Thank you, Jean, very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for bringing that in. Wonderful. Promoting local cheese is what we're all about here. What do you know?
Cheese Whiz.
Yeah. Very nice. Good cheese.
Yeah.
You ever try making cheese?
No.
No? It's really easy. 30 minutes.
Yeah, 30 minutes. And then you realize you don't
and
have
it. And the rennet. Every time. You think I would
know.
Oh,
did you read the thing before you... Where do you get the rennet from? Like a farm or something? Or do
I don't know. You got to get it from a dead goat, I think.
Well.
I think it's the adrenal gland of a goat or...
Oh, I don't know.
Thyroid or something? Anyone know? Huh?
It's a stomach lining, I think. Yeah.
Stomach lining? Of a goat? Would a puggle work? No. Thank God.
Tina, shut your ears. God.
Innovations in cheese. It's the Feldman Puggle cheese. Okay, so how about some music here? That's the only thing that can help.
Okay, I've got to throw in a plug for Jeff.
Okay. What's he doing?
Grammy Award-winning trumpeter Brian Lynch is coming around again. And yeah. Jeff's playing with him at the Conservatory in Milwaukee on Thursday, and Andy's in Chicago on next Friday and Saturday.
Sounds good. He's a great player, yeah. Brian Lynch. And so is Jeff, as you'll hear on this next number.
Once again, Michael Feldman.
All right, so Jeff has been doing off-air musician jokes. Let's give him a chance to do one on-air of his choice. One musician joke. One musician. To make it your best one, okay? You ready? Best? Got them all written down.
No. What do you throw a drowning guitar player? His amp.
That's an inside joke, I guess, more than anything else. Okay. Drummer jokes are still the easiest and best, I think. My sister-in-law is visiting, and I'm wondering whether she should stay in the guest room or the storage shed. Jason Hurwitz. What'd you decide, Jeff? Let's find out what the decision was on that. I can see it either way, depending upon the, you know... Sister-in-law. Oh, thanks for coming down here. Saves me the trouble. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. How'd you figure that one out?
Which one?
What'd you decide on? Shed?
Oh, I asked her. It turns out she speaks English. It's good. She's from Vermont. I wasn't sure, you know. Sister-in-law's a little bit scary, so it's good. It's good.
Go sit down.
Okay.
Thought we had something there. I was wrong. I haven't... Oh, that's all right. Speaks English.
Sister-in-law, just say that.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, you're off air now. Can't hear you now. Could have said that in the beginning. Ellen Chevis? Chevis? Yes? Chevis. Gee, I got the cheer right and the E wrong. Oh. Hurrah! My second visit, which I hope clears up something. You gave some wine and said, we'll meet at the hotel. I waited 3 hours. I waited 3 hours, and I have the... did I have the wrong spot? Anyway, the wine... I'm coming. Yes. Hi, I remember.
Where were you?
What hotel did you say?
I thought it was the Radisson.
The Radisson?
Damn.
I was at the Hilton.
Damn. But I tried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I'd never see you again, actually.
Well,
I came back after several years.
I came to celebrate my son's 59th birthday tomorrow. This will probably be it for me. You know.
You want some more wine for him, I suppose.
Well,
I'm not meeting him at the Radisson.
Well, I don't
give him the wine.
You anymore? I don't like these no shows. I can't handle this thing. At my age, it's very depressing.
Mine too, actually. I'm sorry I missed you. You don't understand that, Ellen.
Well, because you do have that sexy voice. I listen every week.
When we turn the lights off, that's all you'd hear.
I'm with the lights on.
Okay, and your son is
Jim.
Jim?
Jim, yes. Pretty good. How about you?
And I think in honor of his wife, what's a bit good about him?
Well, he takes good care of me. I had a herniated disc, and I had to go to this doctor, and I couldn't get there anymore. He trucked me over there, and he comes over and helps with stuff. Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah.
He married the perfect daughter-in-law for me.
Oh, is her here taking the pictures?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
She's very good.
So he's worth the wine, is what you're saying.
Well, I don't think I'd give it to him. I'd keep it.
All right. How about Jim on his birthday? We give the wine to his mother.
I think that's a good idea.
That's all she's been through.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where are you going to be? So I want.
Well, I'm going home with him. Well, I don't. I'm not. No, no. He was a no-show. One time, you're out.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it.
We're
in front of the church group here. You have to be careful. These are the Jerusalem Presbyterians.
I'm a congregationalist.
You're a congregationalist?
Yes.
Well, then you understand what's going on here. She's a congregationalist,
and we
people.
We call ourselves the Congos. And I belong to the, I'm 83, and our church has started a new group. It's called the Isles. We don't give a hoot.
Give her the wine already. What do we got for wine, Sarah?
We have the Domaine de Sac and Prairie Fumée quality Wisconsin wines from the Wollersheim Winery.
Yeah, how many bottles is it?
Why not two?
Yeah.
Or four.
Four bottles.
I did share them with them.
Yeah, that's fair then. Two for him, two for you.
I don't know if I'll get here again, but anyway, I'm so glad to see you again.
Just come every week and we won't have that problem.
Well, I'll have to set something up.
Okay.
Yeah. I went to the casino the other day and this man was getting very friendly. And my daughter-in-law said I should have stayed at that chair, but I thought, well, I'll look for something better.
Yeah.
But actually, he was the best. And by the time I went back, he was gone.
So your machine didn't pay off, but he did.
Well, my machine paid off, but he didn't.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. Nice to have you back again. We do have 60-year-old newlyweds. That's kind of cool. Is that in the same group here? We got any of you 60-year-old newlyweds? All right, we got them. That's a good thing. There's hope then.
Yes.
This is very hopeful. I like that.
Yes. 3 months so far.
Yeah. You want to stand up? Give everybody the appearance of what 60-year-old newlyweds look like. And we have here
Sally Greenwood.
Don Myers.
And Don Myers. Did she take the name?
No.
Staying with the Greenwood?
She kept her own. It's a good one.
Yeah, that's good. And when did you get married?
In August.
In August? Okay. And how's that working out so far?
The first few weeks have been great.
But it's been longer than that now.
The first few weeks have been great.
You know, the great thing about being in your 60s is you're not set in your ways.
There you have it. Not me, anyway.
No. Are you set in your ways?
Yes.
But you're adjusting to a man who's, you know.
I am, and he's very easy.
He's adjusting to a woman who's, you know.
That's right. Yeah. And you know the very best thing about this? As his eyesight fails, I get better looking.
There you have it, the secret. Thank you both.
Thank you.
It's almost your anniversary. How about some wine?
Really?
Yes. How about some wine? It's almost, yes.
Okay.
More wine.
More wine, yeah. Again. These great two bottles, Domaine de Sac and Prairie Fumée, quality Wisconsin wines from the Wollersheim Winery.
There you go. Thank you. Congratulations. Many more. Happy returns of the day. Get your seat there. Get you back in your seats. Enjoy the rest of the show. All right. Are we going to top this? I don't think so. Is it okay to check the score of the Badger game on your phone during the show? Yes. Okay. Adam, have you done that, Adam? Do you have a score update?
I did not. So my son checked it.
Okay. What do you got? What do we got so far?
14-0.
Badger. All right. We are going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz, because that's what we do here. Being a quiz show, a sense. What? You want to play it?
Yeah.
How old are you?
11.
11? You're too smart for this at 11. Let's try it, though. Yes, come on. Either. Go either way. He's 11. That's unfair advantage. How are you? What's your name?
Nick.
Nick? Put her there, Nick. Nice to meet you. You from around here, Nick? Or?
Yeah, I'm from Madison.
You are? Where do you go to school?
Madison Country Day School.
Country Day? It's a good school, huh?
And yeah.
You're in what, sixth grade?
Yes.
Sixth grade, tougher than fifth grade?
Yeah.
Yeah? Not as tough as seventh grade, you anticipate?
I don't know.
Good answer, Nick. I like the way you think. You know, I always thought 11 years old is as smart as you ever get to be in life. By 12, you're going to be a little bit dumber. 13, down, down, down. By the time you're my age, you won't know nothing. You're as smart as you're going to be in your life right now.
So that means I'm going to win?
Be smart.
When you consider that nobody ever loses, how can you miss, Nick? Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, come on up, Nick. Just walk right up those steps there, Nick. Or hop on stage if you want, because you're young. You can do that kind of thing. My shoelace always comes at the... Yes. Have a seat there, do it. It was my best grade. It was downhill after that for me. You know, it was a plane, like a declining plane, a ramp.
Or like a hill.
Yeah, or like a hill. That'd be another way of saying it. Where's my pen? Did you take it?
Or a fiscal cliff.
A fiscal cliff. Thank you very much. And what's your favorite subject in school?
Art.
Good man.
Lunch.
Art and lunch. And you can eat while you paint. You know, so it's like combine your two passions. Wait, are you a painter? Are you a sculptor?
Both.
Really? What else do you do? Anything else? Art-wise?
I eat.
What are you working on currently as far as artwork goes?
I'm working on papier-mâché animals.
Papier-mâché animals, cool.
Yeah.
Are there a bunch of them? More than one?
No, I'm only doing one.
Oh, one. Okay. And which animal did you choose?
The boar.
The boar.
I knew it was.
Sorry, Sarah. Sarah just had some bad boar last night.
I did have some bad boar.
And she says it wasn't the date, it was the actual the meat.
Yeah, sadly.
Yeah, sadly, it was. We can't really talk
bad
about
memories.
That.
Bad memories, no. That's not
can't talk about that too much. That sounds great, Nick. Any other classes that you like? Are you a math person, science person?
No.
No, no, just you're an artist. You're going to be an artist. Okay, that's cool. And you know how this quiz works, Nick?
Yeah.
Okay, someone out there plays along with you, so you get a collaborationist. Oh, and how does that happen, Sarah?
Hold up. This is an encore presentation of What Do You Know? So you'll only get to leave us a message if you call our hotline.
Okay, you've all heard of the Heisenberg Uncertainty Principle, I'm sure. The question is, what was Heisenberg uncertain about? Okay, this is a very popular question, I can tell right away. And what was he uncertain about in his famous uncertainty principle? Let's go to the phones right now. Mount Nebo, West Virginia, it's Whit. Hey, Whit.
Hey, Michael.
How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Are you working outside now as we speak? Or?
No, I'm inside, actually.
You're inside?
Woodwork.
You're woodworking?
Yep.
What are you working on?
I'm running oak trim through my shop in the basement and putting it up upstairs.
You're running the trim all the way from the basement to upstairs?
Well, yeah, you got to run it through the machines to make it and then bring it upstairs and nail it on.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's the way I'd do it.
Yeah.
Wasn't there trim on there before? Why are you doing it?
Huh? I don't know. I would say that he had a different idea about the... shoot.
I think it's physics, the physics kind of thing.
Yeah, it was E equals MC squared, he thought was wrong.
No, we all think it's wrong. It makes no sense. Why would one letter equal two others? Squared makes no sense. But
no, that makes great sense.
Okay,
the
maybe that does.
The theory of relativity.
You're saying Heisenberg
that
had
he disagreed with.
Is that true? I don't know. Maybe. No, I'm afraid. I have my experts out here say that's not it, Whit. Sorry.
Not it, Whit?
Yeah, not it, Whit.
All right, Mike.
Back to your trim. We'll talk again, though, I'm sure.
I'm sure we will.
Okay, bye. That's fine. Max is on the line from Winneconne.
Winneconne.
That's what I said. I have an accent. Never yell at people for having an accent, Max. How are you?
I don't have one.
You know Heisenberg?
Yeah.
What's his uncertainty about?
That you couldn't know a particle's speed and location at the same time.
Oh, God, you're smart, Max. Yes, that's exactly right. Are you a physicist or something, or just a smart guy? You're a chemist?
Yeah.
Okay. Huh?
That would be why.
Yeah, what are the odds on that? Max, this is Nick.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, Max.
Okay, that's a start. Nick is in sixth grade at a very good school, and he's an artist.
Great.
Okay. And are you working as a chemist, Max?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. How's that going?
It's really good.
Good. Excellent. So, like a job thing, would you recommend becoming a chemist to a
Absolutely.
Young person like Nick? If the art thing doesn't work out? Chemistry.
Definitely.
He shrugged. Okay. All right, two of you are a team, Max and Nick. And what are those categories here?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Max, you pick the first one. What would you like?
I'll go with science.
Science it is. Explain as briefly as you can the traveling salesman problem as it relates to bumblebees. Famous traveling salesman problem as it relates to bumblebees. Okay, let's take a different one there.
I got it.
Huh? You got it?
Yeah.
Oh, Max got it. Okay, never mind. I forgot how smart you were, Max.
So he can visit all the flowers in the shortest distance without hitting one twice.
God, you are really too smart for this show. I'm not even kidding this time. That's right. It's the shortest route. Traveling salesman problem. Wow.
I should have let Nick get that one.
Oh, do you agree, Nick? Might have to agree.
Sure.
Okay. Good. Good man. So that would be...
One right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left there, Sarah?
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Nick?
I'll choose things you should have learned in school because I'm in school.
Good point. Which can't humans smell? Is it fear, disgust, or popularity?
Fear.
Disgust or popularity?
Or disgust.
Or popularity. Max, you want to get on it?
Yeah, popularity.
Now, he's saying that you can't smell popularity. Do you find that in the sixth grade? Can you smell someone who's popular?
Yes.
Well, maybe something that we lose over the years. You know, we 11, we can still smell popularity. Max, you guys got to work this out. I don't know how you can do this now. So you're saying
the one I say popularity.
He says popularity, and
well,
you say
he's really smart, so I'll go with him.
Always, that's a very smart thing to do. Yes, popularity is the one, except for Nick. He can smell it. But you can smell fear and disgust. We know that to be the case.
That's two right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left?
Current events, people, places, or odds and ends.
All right, Max?
Places.
Places, could be anywhere. Let's see, yes it is. If, while in Argentina, you are given a wave of the hand, and a chupa medias, are you being greeted as one of the following? A rubberneck? Or is it a local pastry similar to a tart? Or are you being called a sock sucker?
Well, I think chupa medias. Chupacabra is a goat sucker, so...
Oh.
Oh.
So a chupa sucker...
So you're saying a sock sucker would be a similar vein.
Yeah. Nick, do you take Spanish?
Sometimes.
You should go more often, really. Yeah. So you would agree that it's a sock sucker?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sock sucker. It's a sock sucker. Whoa. I've never heard that in this neck of the woods. Pretty bad, I guess it would be. And well,
that's three right, Michael.
I know, so they've won.
They have, yeah.
So what's the deal here then, Sarah?
Well, you could go for one more and see if you can win the mother load.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you risk losing all the other great prizes you've
Everything that you've won. Amassed so mm-hmm. far.
That's right.
Well, you want to talk it over, Max?
Sure, what do you want to do, Nick?
Nick?
Let's go for it.
All right.
We're going for it. All right. This is it, all or nothing. What's left then?
We have current events, people, or odds and ends.
Okay.
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. All right. Okay, here we go. Can a bear learn a hunter by sight?
What?
Okay, never mind. Ritalin.
Friend or enemy?
good idea or bad before hitting the casino? No, okay, all right. I don't know where these came from. I'm going to fire my person, really. Pimples, no, that's, we already did that one. No, I can't do that one. Here, wait a second. Okay. What did you say? What did you want again?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Okay. Well, that's what I'm looking at. Really odds and ends. All right. Are you more likely to discuss politics with family or strangers? Talk it over now, Max, Nick. Politics.
What do you think, Nick?
I don't usually talk about it with my family, so strangers.
Yeah. Do you talk about it with strangers?
I don't know.
Don't they warn you about that? School? Do not talk with strangers about politics. That is all. Max?
We have a rule in my family not to talk about politics or weight.
Okay. Or family matters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're saying strangers?
Yes.
Strangers? Max?
Sure.
Strangers is right, yes. 16% to 12%. Congratulations, you've won all we have. And what have they won, Sarah Nick?
Nick, you'll quickly whisk away crumbs, pollen, and dust from your favorite perch with a rocking chair porch duster from the Screaming Porch Gift Company in Bay St. Louis, Missouri. Oh, rather, Mississippi. Then enjoy the musical majesty that has entertained since Emperor Maximilian I with a pair of tickets to the Vienna Boys Choir from St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Middleton, Wisconsin. Then bask in the afterglow of Halloween with Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Chaos Bleeds, written by Christopher Golden, Tom Snegoski, and Cliff Richards from Dark Horse Comics. Look back at A Midsummer Night's Dream wearing a purple t-shirt from the Nebraska Shakespeare Company, and keep hope alive playing What Do You Know the Party Game, including two contestants, questions, cards, and a boisterous audience, along with a classic Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Max, you've won the official coin of the What Do You Know realm, the exclusively minted faux sterling silver jubilee anniversary quarter designed by Nora Feldman and featuring the properly bewigged M. Washington Feldman, along with the abiding motto, E. Pluribus Unum. Then discover where real Americans get together with Ray Oldenburg's The Great Good Places, cafes, coffee shops, bookstores, bars, hair salons, and other hangouts at the heart of a community from Marlowe & Company. Stop the whining with a bottle of the once-a-day Suck It Up OTC, the attitude adjuster from Cry Me a River Pharmacy Company. Get some new undies with a $25 gift card from Jockey International, and bask in pathetic pastoral moonlight listening to the CD What Do You Know About Beethoven with heroic liner notes by Michael Feldman on Nimbus Records. Congratulations to you both.
Nice job, Nick.
Thank you.
Put on your resume. Did a great job, Nick. Thanks.
Thank you.
You're very smart. But you've been told that before. Hang on, we'll make sure you get all that stuff. Thanks for playing. Well, you know what time that means this is.
Yes.
Each week at this time, or almost never, we honor a you can go by. Yeah. He's talking to you. We honor a town, village, or burg somewhere across the United States. It's time once again for our town of the week.
Eloy is 110 square miles of Arizona desert.
Who is?
Eloy, Arizona.
Oh. How do you spell it?
E-L-O-Y.
Oh, that's how you would say it.
Nearly smack between Tucson and Phoenix, Eloy was named by the Southern Pacific Railroad when they built a switch there in the early 1900s. In 2010, the population of this Pinal County city was 16,631. But get this, of those 16,000 people, more than 11,000 of them were male. That doesn't mean Eloy is a single woman's mecca. The Saguaro Correctional Center is in Eloy. It's a medium security prison for male prisoners from Hawaii with nearly 2,000 beds.
What?
The privately operated prison...
They keep prisoners from Hawaii and Arizona?
Yeah.
Okay.
They like to ship them off island, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
The prison claims to offer a menu that caters to the tastes of Hawaiian prisoners, to observe Hawaiian holidays, and to accommodate Hawaiian religious practices. Hmm. The city's also home to the Eloy Detention Center.
So that answers the question, where do Hawaiians go on vacation?
That's right. It's also home to the Eloy Detention Center, which detains people on behalf of U.S. Customs and Immigration. There are approximately 1,400 male detainees and 100 female detainees there. If you want to have fun in Eloy, you can see the Santa Cruz Valley Union High School Dust Devils play, or the Junior High's Blue Devils. On Tuesday afternoons, the Eloy Public Library holds video game tournaments for kids, and every month or two, the city hosts a free movie under the stars in Jones Little League Park. But if you're really looking for a good time in Eloy, you have to be willing to jump out of a plane. There's a huge drop zone there called Skydive Arizona. Eloy is sometimes called the skydive capital of the world.
No kidding.
Yeah, they recently hosted the National Skydiving Championships, where divers competed in five disciplines. Formation
do
diving.
Do prisoners get to do that?
Only if they've been really bad. Formation diving, free fall style and accuracy, vertical formation, canopy formation, and artistic events.
Wait a minute. Free fall formation.
I can just give you this piece of paper when
oh,
I'm done.
Oh, okay. All right.
On the city's website, they ask, why aren't you living here? And it seems like a reasonable question. Mahalo to our town of the week. That's Eloy, Arizona.
Mahalo. That was the strangest sound of the week I can recall hearing in some time. So is there any industry besides the prison?
That's pretty much it. It's the number one employer in town.
Prisoners and
skydiving.
And skydiving. Mm-hmm. Unusual combination.
Thrill seekers? Yeah. I don't know what the
okay.
name is.
Okay. Well, we're calling randomly. Our Lyle is. Did you do that, Lyle? Oh, this is okay. Jessica in Eloy, Arizona, our town of the week. Hi, Jessica.
Hello.
Hi. This is Michael Feldman from Michael Feldman's What Do You Know?
Well, what do you know, Michael?
Yeah, thank you. How are you?
How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. Did you happen to hear the description of Eloy? It's our town of the week.
I did. I do have to say, though, there are no lions that vacation here.
Lions?
There are no lions?
Oh, well, didn't you say, I'm sorry, was it tigers that vacation or?
Hawaiians.
See?
You thought she said lions came to vacation in Arizona,
wow,
but it's Hawaiians.
Way off.
No, it's an easy mistake to make. It's a mistake you don't want to make in the jungle, obviously. You think it's a Hawaiian when it's a lion.
Well, it's definitely a jungle here sometimes.
Oh, okay. Well, anything else besides the lions that you want to mention as far as Sarah's description of the town?
I mean, Eloy, there's not too much to say about Eloy. It's pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
Skydive Arizona here, though, it's kind of like its own community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the people here are awesome. They come from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been here for about 5 years, and it's just amazing. One of the best experiences I've ever had was working here.
Mm-hmm. And are you working with the skydive?
We do.
Yeah.
Well, I work in the office.
Okay.
Basically, what I do is... we pretty much sell tickets to the skydivers, and we put them in planes, and they jump out all day long.
Are chutes provided, or is that optional? Is chute optional, I suppose?
Chutes are optional. However, we haven't had anybody that opted to go without.
do you jump yourself, Jessica? Are you a jumper?
I do. I do have my skydiving license.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to stay in the office, though.
Yeah. What's the difference between skydiving and just jumping out of a plane?
Well, there's a huge difference.
Yeah.
A lot of people come through here, they're first-time jumpers,
mm-hmm.
Which is themselves with one of our instructors. That's a fun way to go. It's mm-hmm. kind of like, you know, going on a really awesome roller coaster, except, you know, you're jumping out of a plane.
Yeah, big difference.
When you skydive on your own, you know, you have to... pull the parachute and,
mm-hmm.
you know, steer the landing and all that yourself.
But you can just hold on to someone else who'll do all that for you?
Yeah, I'd prefer that.
Mm-hmm. I would, too.
Yeah.
But what if they get away from you? Do they tie you together or something? Or?
It's kind of hard. They're strapped to you pretty good here.
Oh, they're strapped to
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What if they want to go out and you don't the last minute? You're going.
What yeah. they say in the airplane, no sounds like go.
That's what she said. All right, and so and this is a big business there, I guess. So it's
it is. It's employed about 150 something odd people, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, we have our Skydive Arizona. Then we also have our Sky Venture, which is our wind tunnel.
Sky Venture.
And then we also have Adventures in Skydiving. Which
Wait a second. You have a wind tunnel. What do you do in that?
You have a wind tunnel. Oh my gosh, it's so awesome.
Yeah.
I
always wanted one. But.
Yeah, you guys should come out and try it sometime.
Yeah, what are you doing there?
Well, basically it simulates the free fall of the skydive.
Oh, awesome. It's a training
really
thing.
Windy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way I can describe it.
And so it's a, is it a vertical wind tunnel then?
It is.
Oh, how cool.
Yes.
And what do? You stand in there and you appear to be falling through space?
Well, like I said, you kind of simulate a skydive. There's multiple ways to do that. Some people go in on their bellies. Some people do the they go on their back, and then they also do vertical, which is they're either kind of standing up or upside down.
How do you stand upside down in the?
Well, I personally can't do it, but I have seen it before, and some of the people that use the wind tunnel here are just world champs. I mean, on any given day, you can walk around here and meet somebody who has, you know, gone to the world championship of the skydiving or to the world meets and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the talent here is just amazing.
Amazing. So it's basically the prison and you guys.
Yeah, but we'd win any day. Any day of the week, we got them.
You'd win. Okay, I guess I don't want to.
That's how awesome we are.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as businesses in.
Well, I guess if you have to.
Eli.
Yeah, if you have to compare us to somebody, I guess.
No, I'm not comparing. I'm just saying Eloy is pretty much the prison and skydive and you guys.
Yeah, and the Lions. Don't forget the Lions.
The Lions.
The Lions.
Yeah. The Honolulu Lions out there. And okay. I mean, do they ever have field trips from the prison that come over there?
No.
Just skydiving?
No.
That'd be kind of
no.
Cool. There's a lot of benefits, sounds like they have there with all the Hawaiian food and everything. Sounds nice, is what I'm saying. And now, if we were coming to Eloy, obviously we want to skydive, but where else would you take us around town? Is there a good place to eat or a place to go out and dance? And
let's see. One of the favorite places that people tend to go around here would be Lucky's Sushi, which is in Casa Grande.
Lucky's Sushi. Uh-huh. Never go to a sushi place named Lucky's.
Or Bob's.
Well, it's really good.
Or
I
Bob's.
Promise it's really good.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
You know?
And then to kick back and have a really good time to celebrate something, where do you go? In Eloy.
Gosh, I've lived here like my entire life.
And you've never celebrated a good time?
I go out of town for that.
Jessica, I want to thank you. You've been very indulgent to us, and I know you're working there right now. We have a little something for you.
We'll be sending you the Pride of America's Dairyland in a scrumptious selection of 10 premium certified organic cheeses and butters from Lafarge, Wisconsin's Organic Valley family of farms.
Thanks, Jessica. Our town of the week, Eloy, Arizona.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. Very special thanks to our guests, Patrick Somerville, Gene Carpenter, and Jessica from Eloy, Arizona. I'm Sarah Nix, hoping you'll join us next week for more of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Thank you.
Public Radio International.